higher and higher taxes on small businesses, on family farms, and on every working family, so that government may once again grow at the people's expense. You know, we could say they spend like drunken sailors. But that would be unfair to drunken sailors, because the sailors are spending their own money.
One slight correction. In Johnson County, they want to spend like drunken sailors. Good morning, my friends, from high above all other flailingly pedantic forms of Little Swamp newspapers, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Welcome, my friends, to a very special episode of Weekend Update. This morning, I'm going to play the greatest hits reel from these tax raisers in Johnson County. For the most part, we're going to try to play them back to back, with just a little bit of comment in between them. I have to be honest with you, I just can't resist commenting on some of this ridiculous audio that I'm going to play during the program. And frankly, it's kind of amazing that all of these tax advocates actually said all of this stuff. What is even more amazing is the oversized political brochure that masquerades as a newspaper actually called all of the things that I'm going to play for you myths, over and over and over in their pages. In fact, pretty much the entire paper was an argument as to why you should vote for this tax on yourself. And that anyone who speaks out against this tax is like the Wicked Witch of the West holding the poisoned apple. Well, by the end of the program, I'm going to tell you exactly what that poison apple is and who is trying to feed it to you. And after we play the greatest hits reel, I've got a great interview with Boone Tidwell and Troy Bray of Park County. These two guys were central in the crafting of the letter that fired Liz Cheney. They're going to explain how they did it and why, and by the end of it, they're going to set the record straight as to how that whole thing got started. But before we do any of that, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden or Crickets Cheney and you don't have a clue what's going on, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself just like you should have been doing the whole time. And as it relates to the greatest hits reel, I'm going to post it for this time only on the website so you can download it to your phone. And so, if you find yourself in the lobby of a certain oversized political brochure, well, then you can just relentlessly play the greatest hits reel for them and show them that everything that they have printed is totally wrong. More than that, though, you'll be able to show them that in their pages might be just a little bit of factual distortion. And how does one determine what a fact is? Well, the easiest way is to catch people saying stuff in their own words, which is exactly what Cowboy State Politics has been doing through this entire gigantic tax debate. All right, let's get to it. And we should probably begin at the beginning. Here's Rick Myers explaining exactly what this whole gigantic tax thing is all about.
I mean, the way the numbers work right now, we go out, borrow $23 million or bond it. It's the same basic thing. There's some technicality difference to it. You go out and borrow the $23 million, so we have it in an account.
And here's Scott Madsen calling it a bond.
I think the bond would pass easily. I think I foresee 75% or more in favor of it on the vote.
There's a couple of reasons why this is important. Because this whole gigantic tax thing started with a bond question. They've since changed that language to say that it's a $36 million tax. Which that's true, it is a $36 million tax, but it is also a bond. And the second reason why this is important, it is the bond portion of this whole thing that short-circuits their numbers. So what they are asking the taxpayer for is $23 million to put towards these projects. They want $10 million in operating expenses and $3 million in operating deficits. That's where you get the $36 million. Did you notice what's missing in their numbers? Interest. So if you calculate the interest on the interest rate that is listed on the ballot, which is 4.95%, the interest is $13.7 million. Added to 36, you get $49.8 million total. This is the very first thing that the oversized political brochure calls a myth, the numbers. And they didn't even really get the numbers right anyway, but there you have it. The math is pure and easy, and these tax advocates didn't do it. Now that we have that out of the way, the greatest hits reel. Here's what these tax advocates think sales tax ought to be in Buffalo.
And the sales tax, to me, is far and away the best way to pay for anything. I would say that we should have 10% sales tax in Buffalo.
Pretty hard to argue with that one, isn't it? But don't really worry about it, because the sales tax really isn't going to affect anyone that bad. You know, like senior citizens.
I think it's affordable to everybody, because what about people that are on fixed incomes? You're correct. People that are on fixed incomes even spend less in our community because they're on fixed incomes. The impact of them is even far less than $5.
This is so misguided. A sales tax is the most regressive tax there is. It affects those people who earn the least amount of money the most because it takes up a larger percentage of their income. Pay no attention to those people on a fixed income.
And my concern was that they were going to say, oh, people will quit shopping here. Every one of them told me the exact same thing. That has no impact on a shopper. Sales tax has no impact on a shopper.
Really? When's the last time you went to Billings, Rick, to go shopping? But pay no attention to that. Here they are laughing about it.
Yeah, so the next steps of actually pushing this forward, obviously this will be in the newspaper next week. I assume it might be newsworthy. all the boards are right, so you have to have it. There's an enormous amount of education and marketing effort to get this out.
Marketing, huh? Well, that's convincing someone to do something that they may not necessarily want to do. Here's their plan for that.
There's going to be people that are just, I don't golf, I don't swim, this or that. This group of people that helped put this together actually believe, though, that by putting this collectively together, that people aren't going to cut their nose off to spite their face.
So not wanting to pay more in taxes is cutting our nose off to spite our face. Well, here is a sitting city councilman telling you exactly the same thing.
I think it is easier to get passed as a package deal. That you may be strongly in favor of 5 of the 10 items and don't dislike two of them, but you'll vote for it because of the ones you're in favor of.
This is a practice called vote buying. It's also known by another term, pork barrel spending. Here's a couple of other local politicians that are totally in favor of this whole ridiculous plan.
The commissioners would be behind supporting the concept of this.
And numero dos, that's a little Spanish lingo for you, since none of this is really on the level anyway.
For me, what I've seen and what we've discussed, it's definitely something that I can get behind and help push forward.
Well, that one was the mayor. Well, here they are talking about how we absolutely have to do this, and if we don't raise taxes, there's no way possible that we can ever fix any of these buildings.
And that honestly, if we don't do something like this, there's no way that any one of these boards are going to get the improvements that actually they deserve.
There's no other possible way that we can fix any of these problems. Well, the reason why they think that is they haven't looked anywhere else. And I'll get back to that here in just a second. But first, apparently cutting budgets doesn't work at all when you're in a money crunch.
Everybody has revenues. You can't just slash spending to the amount that we're under budget.
Why? It works that way for every other family in the whole country. The city of Buffalo and Johnson County is no different. Now here's one of my personal favorites, and this one earned Rick Myers membership into the Nancy Pelosi fan club.
Do all these projects. I mean, these kind of detail, there's nothing set in stone on that. And we do, as the public, want to control the dollars. We do want to make sure the projects get done. However, we can't even start planning the projects of this size if we don't know where the dollars are coming from. We need to be able to find the dollars first. And that's what this is about, the tax.
Okay, I can't resist. I just have to play this.
We're very, you've heard about the controversies within the bill, the process about the bill, one of the items. But I don't know if you have heard that it is a legislation for the future. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
How appropriate. If you look at any of Joco First's or the Citizens for Johnson County's advertisements, their billboards, their signs, listen to their radio ads, all of them say, we're building the future of Johnson County. But you just heard Rick Myers say, we can't do that. We don't even know what we're going to do until we find the money. You have to pass the tax before you find out what's in it. So are there alternatives to this whole thing? Yes, there are, but they didn't look at them. They went immediately to the tax because that's the easiest way to find their money. And if you listen to the oversized political pamphlet of the Little Swamp, this tax is our, quote, last and best hope for Johnson County's future, end quote. But that's not true either. One alternative is to use $15 million of reserve funds that is sitting around the county and privately fundraise the remaining $9 million for a total of $23 million to do these projects. According to the Buffalo Bulletin, that's illegal. But is it? Not according to sitting City Councilman Scott Madsen in a private message to me. This one I'm going to have to read to you, but I'll screenshot it and post it on cowboystatepolitics.com so you can read it for yourself. Quote, if this fails, the tax, the $2 million for the city's projects will have to come from reserves. The mains street water line must be done while the road is torn up. Otherwise, the cost more than doubles if we do it later, and then we have to tear up and repave the road. But the $2 million will severely cut into the total water and depreciation reserves of the city, which are slightly over $5.5 million. End quote. Now, hold on just a second. According to the oversized political brochure that's masquerading as a newspaper, doing any of that would be illegal. Well, as you can tell, that's not true either. And one more item on the political pamphleteers at the Little Swamp newspaper. Their ad with the poison apple? Well, they really should have checked their facts on it, because there's only one statement that is only partially true. And I think they completely understand what it means to print things that are not true. And if there is a shred of any semblance of journalistic integrity left in that political pamphlet, well, then they'll make a phone call and check their facts. Because there's a word that describes specifically what they printed, and I think they understand my meaning completely. But I'm not really holding my breath for that phone call. But the real poison apple in this whole discussion is the tax. The one that they're trying to feed to you to convince you that it is something that it's not. Okay, so before we get to our interview for Weekend Update, a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or any other type of building for that matter, then you need to call Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anybody else around. You'll never hear that dumb phrase, industry standard, come out of their mouth, because frankly, they don't believe in it. They manufacture most of their own materials, and they do most of the work on their projects. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. On August 17th, the American Legion Post 8 in Douglas, Wyoming, is sponsoring an event at the Douglas, Wyoming American Legion Hall. They're having an author, speaker, and radio host, Paul Engel, from the Constitution Study. He'll be giving his Knowing Your Rights presentation, followed by a Q&A session with plenty of time to meet others concerned about the state of freedom and liberty in America. Paul developed Knowing Your Rights to show everyday Americans that they are not born subjects of our governments, but their masters. Using the Constitution of the United States, quotations from our founding fathers, and even federal law, you'll see how you too can stand your ground against the nation's slide towards intolerance, racism, and tyranny. This is your chance to learn how to defend your rights and the rights of your family from someone who has made it his entire life's work teaching others to be free. That's Paul Engle, August 17th, 2021 at 6:30 at the Douglas, Wyoming American Legion Hall. You definitely don't want to miss this event. Make sure you check out the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, tell everyone you know about it. And now, back to the program. Here's the interview with Boone Tidwell and Troy Bray from Park County. The audio's a little choppy because they were both on the telephone, but you can hear both what both of them have to say. On the phone, I have Troy Bray and Boone Tidwell from the Park County Republican Party Men's Club. These are the guys that started the letter to fire Liz Cheney. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Doing good, David. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. I think this is an interesting story, and it's being picked up across the state. So I thought we should have you two guys on and just talk about how this letter came to be and then how Park County Republican Party picked it up. So I guess, Boone, first, how did we get started with this whole idea?
Okay, David, again, thanks for having us on. But I'll give you a little bit of my background. I'm a retired sheriff detective from Southern California. I've been in Wyoming for 16 years. I've been in the bail bond business for the last 25 years, and that's what I've done. I've worked inside the American judicial system for almost 45 years. I've been politically active in the state of Wyoming since I hit the ground here. I was involved in the last four governor's campaigns and supported Taylor Haynes. And in that process, I had the opportunity to travel the state constantly with the man, and I got to meet people in every community and county in the state. And so that gives you a little bit of my background here in Wyoming. And what brought this about was there was a lot of banter on social media, David, where I saw everybody complaining about the fact that there were too many people in the race against Liz Cheney and that we needed to kind of isolate on one. My personal preference runs along the line that I get 50 choices for Miss America, but you want to give me one or two for a political office that has way more influence in my life. And so I watched that transpire. And in my mind, I thought, well, maybe the best thing we do is we just make Liz Cheney irrelevant so we can have more people run for that office and have more choices. I knew Troy Bray from the Republican Party. I'm not a member of the Park County GOP Men's Club, I'm not a committee member, I'm just a citizen. So I reached out to Troy Bray and asked him initially, I said, so you guys censored Liz Cheney? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what did that do for you? And, you know, that started our conversation. So he and I spoke for approximately an hour. I believe that Liz Cheney violated Wyoming Statute 6-5-301, which is legislative perjury. Had that conversation with Troy Bray, and then it was shortly thereafter, David, that I had another conversation with Tim or with Larry French, who's also a member of the Men's Club.
Right.
Ran along the same lines of that. And then shortly thereafter, I was invited to come out and speak to the Park County GOP Men's Club, which I did. I had about a two-hour conversation with the men in that room, very productive. And I voiced my opinion based on my background and my knowledge of what I felt the best thing was to do was to fire her. And I based that, David, on the fact that I don't believe an elected official in any state or any community should be allowed to violate their oath of office with impunity. And so I brought up, and I always will bring up, it's 6-5-301 of the Wyoming statutes. And it's called Legislative Perjury, is the title of that section. And I want to read it to you briefly, Dan.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, this is a universal citation, Wyoming Statute 6-5-301. It says, A person commits perjury if while under a lawfully administered oath or affirmation, he knowingly testifies falsely or makes a false affidavit, certificate, declaration, deposition or statement in a judicial, legislative, or administrative proceeding in which an oath of affirmation may be required by law touching a matter material to a point in question. And Section B of 65301 says, perjury is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 5 years, a fine of not more than $5,000, or both. So,
well, that seems
with that understanding. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that statute seems pretty clear to me. I mean, if you're a legislator and you commit perjury, I mean, that's pretty clear.
Exactly. Okay. So, understanding my background, David, I see citizens of this state and other states I've been in arrested constantly on a daily basis on the weakest of allegation or information. The average citizen can and is arrested on very, very weak and information and issues constantly, but we can't seem to apply the same when it comes to our elected officials. I believe, and this is my conversation with the men's club, that the proper remedy would be to arrest Liz Cheney under the Wyoming statutes and let a jury decide if she's in fact guilty of that. That was part of our conversation. The other portion was, in violating your oath, in my mind, it's no different than me agreeing to or entering a contract with you, David, to pour a slab in your backyard by a certain dimension. And when it's accomplished, it's not even close to that.
Right.
Would we agree that I violated that contract?
Well, yeah. And I would think, I was just going to say, I would think that there would be a legal remedy for that violation of that contract.
Precisely. In other words,
and there,
civil penalty. Go ahead, Troy.
There should be a legal remedy, but we don't have a prosecutor in Wyoming who has the courage to actually enforce these laws.
And Troy, you probably just said the most important thing that you could say here, okay? The state operates as the state operates when it comes to the average citizen. But it seems to me that when it comes to a politician or someone in a position of power, that we need to absolutely convict them beyond a shadow of a doubt in a court of public opinion before you're allowed to put shackles on them. I think the remedy for Liz Cheney under Wyoming statute is that she's arrested and prosecuted and let a jury decide.
Okay. Well,
absolutely.
Well, Troy, why don't you chime in here and tell us how you guys came to this whole idea of writing the letter?
So we had me and Boone had the letter, the conversation, and my argument at that time, what can we do? Said, well, I don't sign her paycheck and I don't count her vote on the floor of the House. So there's not a whole lot more than the censure that we can do, even though that really amounted to feel good motion. But I do want to do more. I want her out of office. She's being horrible for Wyoming. She doesn't respect us. She doesn't represent us. So Boone offered to come out and pitch it to the men's club. Met with Larry and Andres and Bob, the other officers, and we had a couple of our Park County legislators there, and he pitched it out there to the group and or to the officers, and then the officers decided that there was enough there to take to the group as a whole. We pitched it out there and unanimously our membership accepted the letter and said, we're not going to recognize her as our representative. She is no longer our employee.
When I first heard about this, you know, it kind of struck me as sort of a little odd, right? You don't hear of county parties firing their representative. But when you think about it, there's no other employer that exists in this entire country that would put up with the reckless disregard that Liz Cheney has operated with. No employer would allow an employee to just disregard exactly what they were told to do, nor would we allow an employee to misrepresent the company. So it makes a lot of sense to normal Wyoming citizens.
Or to talk bad about their employer. I mean, she's called us everything. She sounds like Nancy Pelosi talking about conservatives in Wyoming. we're just a bunch of hillbillies and racists and we're ignorant. I wouldn't tolerate that from somebody pulling lumber for me at work. I'm not going to tolerate it from my U.S. representative.
Well, and I think you guys are exactly right. So what has been the response to your letter firing Liz Cheney?
Pretty positive. Right. We did it with the men's club, and then I brought it up at our county central committee, and that was overwhelmingly adopted there as well. And people on the street are loving it. They didn't know that we could do that. A lot of them question whether it'll be effective, and I think a lot of them just don't realize what the intent is when they say it's not going to work. It already has. And it's working. It's going to do a lot more.
Let me ask something here. It's very important to us that the people listening to your show understand that this is 100% a grassroots effort. The GOP was certainly a tool for me. As a citizen, they were my direct contact to try and create this action. I think I probably threw you both under the bus there by bringing up the Wyoming statute, but I think that statute's imperative, and I've had that conversation with multiple people across the state. And so the letter is imperative, but I've also had conversations with members of the GOP in Wyoming, David, and I'm of the understanding through my conversation with them that because they are, I believe, a corporate entity or something to that effect, that they're limited in their standing to operate under this. But I do want to let everybody know that we have a website that we initiated back when we created litigation over the masking and the mandates, which is freewyoming23.com. And I'll say it again, freewyoming23.com. If you go to updates on that site, this identical letter is in there in PDF, where any citizen can print that letter, put their name and personalize it, and mail it off to Liz Cheney. Our future lies in our hands, guys. We're all starting to understand that nobody in the government's going to come save us. Our lack of participation in our politics is our fault. It's also our responsibility. But I don't think there's a greater time in history to wake up the citizens of Wyoming and show them that they do have a voice, that they're not ruled by kings, and that these people that we send to Cheyenne and D.C. have an obligation to represent the will of the people. It's a phenomenal statement, and it needs to be made, and I hope that every citizen of Wyoming that hears this prints the same letter and sends it off to Ms. Cheney.
Well, a couple things. First, we'll go ahead and put the letter on the front page of Cowboy State Politics. So you could just go to our website too, or my website, and print it off and fill it out and then mail it to whichever office Liz Cheney operates in the state. My advice would be to send it to all three, including Washington, D.C. And the second thing I guess I would say, fellas, is that far too often we ignore the Wyoming Constitution. In fact, many people in Wyoming haven't ever read it. And the part that, well, a lot of parts of it stick out to me, but in this situation, the one that sticks out the most is Article 1, Section 1. And if you don't mind, I'll just read it for our listeners. I mean, as if they haven't heard it enough on the program. But here we go. That all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in any manner as they think proper. That's the first thing that's listed in the Wyoming Constitution, that we, the people, retain all of the power, and it is up to us to change the government in whichever way we think is proper.
Over the years, we know that legislatures have created environments, probably outside of our purview and knowledge, that put themselves in a position of immunity, where they have no culpability. And the only thing that's going to change that, David, is the citizens, first of all, to grab the knowledge that you're speaking about. You're 100% correct. I've been to Cheyenne. I've introduced bills. I've spoken with legislators. And I can tell you confidently that a majority of them, of the people in Cheyenne, don't know what's in the Wyoming Constitution. So that's the first part of their education. The second is to understand what Justice Antonin Scalia said. The Constitution says what it says, and it doesn't say what it doesn't say. It's meant to be interpreted by the people, not by a lawyer, not by a politician. It's your tool, your power, and your protection. It's imperative that we all dive into that little quarter-inch book. It's not big. Article 1 of most constitutions are what we call the chains on government. And it's imperative that every citizen in Wyoming understand what's in Article 1 of the Wyoming Constitution.
I don't think you could have said it any better, Boone. Any closing thoughts you might have, Troy?
I would encourage people to send their own letter, edit it however they want, personalize it. It's your voice when you speak to them. I think that as far as Park County Republican Men's Club was founded in order to provide leadership for our community, and I think in this matter, our community has led. I've seen around the state, it's taken off like wildfire. Five counties so far have adopted the resolution. Back in March, when the Republicans in the House were looking to change leadership, they didn't have the support until the state Republican Party censured her. Then all of a sudden, they had the support. So it was effective. It did have teeth on the censure. And now we're looking to, the House members are looking to remove her from committees and move her out of the Republican caucus. This may be the support they need to accomplish that. And eventually we may get her to resign or get her removed from office by whatever means are in place. We the people have the power.
Yeah, let me add something, David. I don't want to forget to commend the members of the Park County Republican Men's Club. They were instrumental in the initiation of this. I would have had no way to move forward without them. I think it was a tremendous statement that they made. And as Troy said, I think we have five or six counties that have come on board and adopted Carbon County's resolution. We're trying to impress the citizens of Wyoming with the power that they have. We were only ruled because we choose to sit down and not engage in our political environment. And that is critical at this time in our country.
Well, I couldn't agree with you guys anymore. So once again, that website is freewyoming23.com. You can get a copy of their letter on that website, or you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com and it'll be on the front page. You just download it, fill it out, and send it to our wayward representative. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time on Cowboy State Politics, and you're welcome to come back here anytime you like.
Thank you for having me, David. I appreciate your time, buddy.
In both of the cases that we've discussed this morning, the remedy is the same. The power always rests with the people. With regards to the tax, we vote it down. We vote it down completely so they don't bring it up again. And in the case of Liz Cheney, we vote her out of office. So why did I invite the guys from Park County on the program again? We already heard about the letter firing Liz Cheney, so why do it a second time? Because there's been a little bit of, what should we call it? We'll call it misrepresentation that has been going on. And you've already heard me tell all of the candidates to stop saying that they did things that they didn't do. The candidate in question is Darren Smith. It started with him misrepresenting how the whole Liz Cheney censure vote came down. Remember, there was never an episode called Mr. Smith Goes to Johnson County. He wasn't here when we censured Liz Cheney. And right after other counties started picking up this whole firing Liz Cheney letter, an ad immediately popped up on Darren Smith's Facebook page that said, quote, "Chip in to fire Liz Cheney." I've posted a screenshot of a number of those ads at cowboystatepolitics.com. You should really go check them out for yourself. And now you've heard from three people involved in the letter to fire Liz Cheney, and not a single one of them mentioned candidate Darren Smith. So here's what I want to know. Was it before or after Darren Smith wrote the Magna Carta that he came up with the whole idea for the 13 colonies? I mean, I'm just wondering about the timeline here, because looks like maybe he put a lot of thought into that. In all seriousness, all of these candidates just need to be straight with the Wyoming people. Do what you say you're going to do, and don't say you did stuff that you didn't do. And as it relates to the Little Swamp's oversized political pamphlet masquerading as a newspaper, don't print stuff that's not true. And remember, don't take a bite of that poison apple, also known as this tax. It's not what that paper says it is. So while I'm waiting for my phone call from the pamphleteers, don't forget to go vote. You've got two more days, Monday and Tuesday. And if you live in Johnson County or Campbell County, remember, you've got a tax that you need to decide on. Vote it down. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.